First came the Great Recession. One result of that was the Dodd-Frank new federal law. Now there are rules and regulations implementing that. To talk about the meaning and the impact on Wisconsin consumers and borrowers, Rose Oswald Poles, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Bankers Association. Rose, are you there?
I'm back here, Steve.
I understand. tell me what these are.
These are the rules and regulations that have been introduced just in 1 year around mortgage lending.
Why white and orange?
The white are the rules that were introduced just within a two-week period of time last January, and the orange is all of the rules since then. So there have been 6,000 pages of rulemaking that have been introduced in just a 12-month period of time that our bankers have had to weed through and figure out how they're going to move forward.
Biggest change in decades ever? What?
I would
certainly
say
historical changes.
Historical changes, for sure. There have been other singular big laws as well, but the Dodd-Frank Act really is making wholesale changes across the industry.
Good changes, bad changes, or just it's federal law and you got to deal with it?
Well, you know, it is federal law and our bankers have to deal with it. However, these really are changes that we would argue are overreaching and not necessary for certainly Wisconsin banks and consumers.
And why not necessary for Wisconsin banks? Is it
you know, we've always had a tradition of underwriting very conservatively, and generally our population is always pretty conservative with their money as well. And so we've always done prudent underwriting when we've reviewed applications for mortgage loans. And what these rules on a very general level do is take out the ability for a bank to make character decisions when approving a loan, and that's always been part of their underwriting criteria. It's part of the five C's of credit. Is character is one of those five C's, and when you are removing subjectivity from a bank's ability to make a decision in order for that loan to be a safe loan, it really restricts the kind of lending we're able to do.
Well, character is a judgment call, of course, but this
right.
is the kind of thing that a banker is able to make about his or her neighbors, correct?
Well, exactly. You know, banks are in the risk business every day, and they always have been, and that will continue. The mortgage rules here are really trying to say, well, we're going to put into a box the kind of loans that we think are the products you should offer and the kind of underwriting you should do. And if you choose to do something beyond what we dictate to be safe, you're going to be in what is called a non-qualified mortgage rule world, and that opens you up to a lot greater regulatory scrutiny and some litigation risk.
So Dodd-Frank, one size fits all for all lenders across the United States?
Yeah, this affects all lenders across the United States.
Even credit unions?
Even credit unions, yes. Any regulated institution that makes a mortgage loan.
Well, you used a term that I want to come back to, the five C's of lending.
Mm-hmm.
Character is one of them.
Right.
What are the other four?
The other four are capacity, collateral, conditions, and capital. So, you know, those are generally objective criteria underneath the whole umbrella of underwriting. And, you know whether or not you have money, you know whether or not you have the collateral and you can assess the value of it. Those are all typically numerical-driven, data-driven decisions. But character is not. And as you said earlier, you know, we know who our customers are. Regardless of what size bank you are in the state, you know who your customers are. And that's really important, and it's what's allowed us to put more people into homes than what we'll be able to do going forward.
Let's talk about the days before the Great Recession. What are we talking, 2007, 2008?
Right.
Well, now fast forward to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are so much different already in terms of, are we talking here mortgages? Are we talking small business loans? Let's just talk about mortgages first.
Yeah, these rules really do just affect residential mortgage loans. And you know, what is different is removing the ability for a bank to use its judgment, the subjective nature of underwriting. And that definitely existed before. Now, you can certainly point to some pretty egregious examples around the country where, you know, underwriting was really not anything. It had no meaning to it. People were just given money for really no good reason. But so there were abuses out there, but I would argue the laws that existed back then, had they been enforced well enough, and had some of the non-traditional lenders, the mortgage brokers in particular, been actually regulated like a bank or a credit union is regulated, it would have made a world of difference and could have prevented the Great Recession from happening. But today, the rules now are changing. And as I said, if you are only going to make safer loans, you have to follow what the federal government now dictates as a safe loan.
Well, let's talk about Wisconsin experience, because you're a veteran of Wisconsin
mm-hmm,
banking.
Right.
We didn't have the excesses and the wink-wink at the laws of in other regions of the country?
No, we did not. And you can see that the number of foreclosures here compared to other parts of the country like Nevada, Mississippi, Florida, California, we are nowhere near those statistical numbers. And most of our community banks had very, very few foreclosures. The ones that you see are typically owned by large servicers who most often bought those loans or are servicing those loans for mortgage brokers who sold them.
You use terms that I want to come back to, qualified and non-qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a new terminology that Wisconsin residents who want to get a mortgage better get used to?
It is new terminology, right, and it's coming right out of these Dodd-Frank rules that you just showed at the beginning of the segment. The qualified mortgage is the government's term for the safest mortgage you could get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to typically be a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage product or a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage product or an adjustable rate mortgage product. With a window of exception for small creditors for the next 2 years, the government is saying, for example, balloon loan mortgages are not a safe product for you to be in. So small creditors in Wisconsin, which originate 500 or fewer mortgages in a year and are $2 billion and less in size, are able to continue for a two-year window to offer balloon loans.
Well, how many banks are covered by those that small loans that you just talked about?
Yeah, it's a little hard to tell. You know, if you were purely looking at asset size, $2 billion is a very large number, and almost all of the banks in the state fit that criteria. But even some very small banks originate more than 500 loans in a year. So it's a little hard to tell how many fit that small creditor.
Well, you seem to be saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, if a couple come in and want a mortgage, they may hear that they're non-qualified under this new criteria?
What they will hear is that they will be denied the loan. And so if the bank doesn't offer a non-qualified mortgage product, then the box that the government has prescribed means the borrower didn't fit into that box. So they will just be denied the loan. Now, most banks are trying to come up with alternatives to offer people. And certainly in Wisconsin, we enjoy a wide, diverse group of banks that exist in the state. So shopping has always been encouraged and certainly will continue to be important.
Well, someone who is non-qualified, will they be told specifically why?
Yes. Oh, yes. Anyone who is ever denied a loan can always find out why. And there's a form that banks are required to give that tells borrowers generally why, but you can always call back and ask more questions too.
If a couple is told they're non-qualified for a loan at in one institution on Main Street, mm-hmm. suppose they go to a different lender, will the first institution, do they have a duty and obligation to pass on that information to the second bank that the couple is trying to get a mortgage from?
They're actually prohibited from sharing that kind of information. It would be private under a different set of laws that banks are required to follow. So they wouldn't be able to tell, you know, the bank, the next door bank down the street that this couple had applied there. Now, what will be evident is whenever any creditor of any kind pulls a credit report on an individual, it will show up as a hit on your credit report. So when the next bank down the street goes to pull that same credit report on that couple, they will see that another institution had pulled it once. The details are not shared, though.
Well, the denial rates must have been what has been Wisconsin average for turning aside mortgages? Maybe that's an inferred question.
It isn't
3%, 5%?
For denying mortgages?
Yes.
I don't have that data available, actually.
Do you expect that to double or triple under the new criteria?
Well, you know, when I had banks look at their current portfolios today to see, for example, who would not fit in the new definition if we were living in that world then. And there's a roughly between 7 and 12% of banks' loan portfolios comprised of people who don't meet the qualified mortgage definition of underwriting. And now that doesn't mean that 7 to 12 will always be denied, because as I said, banks are weighing their decision as to whether they're going to offer non-qualified products as well and run the regulatory and litigation risk that might exist there or not. So if your bank doesn't offer a non-qualified mortgage, it is good to shop around, because there will be other banks that will offer non-qualified mortgage products.
What's the characteristics of a non-qualified product, Rose?
Well, typically the borrower themselves has a debt-to-income ratio higher than 43%. And secondly, it will be a balloon loan product, not a fixed-rate product.
Talk to me about the importance of that 43% standard. Is that also a national standard that is a result of Dodd-Frank?
Yeah, that is a national standard as well, and it's 43% debt-to-income ratio. The one thing, a couple things are different when you look at debt-to-income under these new rules than what banks typically have used in the past. If you are, for example, a recent college graduate and you have student loan debt, but it's deferred for a period of time, typically banks haven't counted that student loan debt in calculating your monthly debt-to-income ratio. Okay. Going forward, that is something that has to be looked at.
That will be counted towards the 43%?
It's part of this ability to repay analysis, and when you look at that in connection with calculating the 43%, debt-to-income ratio, you need to look at what their current debts are as well as what you anticipate their future debts to be. And of course, you know the student loan debt is going to come due at the end of that deferment period. So that's one example of a difference in the calculation ratio going forward under the new rules.
Which type of potential borrowers do you look to be, do you expect to be hardest hit by these new rules?
Well, certainly, students are a good example of one subset. Another set would be people that have very high assets, a lot of assets, but not a lot of cash flow. So it could affect people who are in retirement that might have built up some wealth through their property, but are living on Social Security, and they might have some problems there as well. In addition, the people that are going to be hurt are, heavily sales commissioned individuals, sole proprietors, farmers, people that don't have traditional W-2 income, so it's a little harder to verify their income.
If a lender looks me in the eye and say I'm non-qualified, mm-hmm. is there a time limit that I can come back and apply again, or not until I fix up one of the areas that I need shoring up?
Yeah, it does depend on what the reason for denial is. If it is a bank that is only offering qualified mortgage loans, then you should shop around and see if you can find another bank that is also offering a non-qualified mortgage product and see if you qualify there. But it's possible you might not qualify no matter which type of product a bank is offering anymore, and that's typically due to very high debt issues. So shoring up your debt situation to minimize what you owe other people is a good first step when you're out looking for loans.
Were you surprised at that 7-12%? Now, you asked your current banks to look at what loans they have on their books that would now be non-qualified.
Correct.
Were you surprised at that 12%?
I was a little surprised at that, although, again, there are a lot of sole proprietors in this state. There are a lot of farmers in this state. And so we have a lot of entrepreneurs here, which is a good thing. But those traits also make it a lot harder to prove, steady income. And when you're really doing a critical ability to repay analysis, there are some issues for that segment of the population.
One thing intrigues me. For a year or two, we've been hearing rates have never been lower. Go in and get a mortgage. And now you're saying, hey, tougher new standards are coming. You may just find yourself non-qualified. Can you reconcile those two statements?
Well, the sustained low interest rate environment is due to primarily the Federal Reserve's policies.
And tapering policies.
And, right, their quantitative easing and tapering policies. And, those have, I think, in the banker's opinion, gone on a little too long. they've let that go so long, and now they're trying to figure out how they ease back off of their easing that they've been doing. But they did that to help sustain the economy. But at the same time, these rules have come out, albeit late, as a way of fixing the crisis to prevent it from the future. And again, as I said in the beginning, we think the pendulum swung way too far in the corrective action that was really necessary. And the stack of rules and the degree to which they've gone into really dictating how a banker does his or her job is just too much. So it's going to result in a restriction of credit.
Now, you and I follow developments both in the Capitol here and in Washington. Mm-hmm. There are some people that want to cut back on some of this pile of rules and regulations in
right.
Washington. Do you look for any changes that'll make it easier for lenders in Wisconsin to loan to write mortgages?
You know, I'm really not seeing that coming to fruition. No, there are just so many other bigger national issues that the Congress has to deal with that I think looking at the Dodd-Frank rules and trying to figure out ways that they could mitigate some of the harm that's been done, I just don't see happening.
Let's break it down specifically. Couple wanting to buy their first home, what advice would you give them in the post-Dodd-Frank world?
Well, you know, what my advice to them isn't any different than it would have been before, which is you really need to talk to a lender, get pre-qualified, understand what, you know, your top-end purchase price is for that home, and then probably try to buy something a little less than that so that you can withstand any unexpected events, hardships, medical issues, whatever that might come your way, you know, in the future. But talking to a lender, understanding what you can really get pre-qualified for is the best advice for anyone really brand new starting to look for a home.
And then what about a couple, two kids about to have their third, want to buy a bigger house? Same advice or different?
Well, they're already in a home, so I think it's always good to find out what your equity is in your current home. And again, then talk to a lender and see what you can afford, hoping your house is going to sell in a relatively short period of time. And you know, the housing market in Wisconsin really has rebounded. I think, you know, the time from putting your home up to sale to getting a closing is shortened in this state now. So it's a good time to try to sell your house and move up if you want to.
Baby boomer couple wanting to downsize to a condo. Now, you indicated they might have problems if they have very high assets and they're living off Social Security. What's your advice for that couple?
Yeah, there for sure you really do want to talk to a lender because your debt-to-income ratio is going to be looked at closely. Now, you know, you'd hope that most people in that situation don't have high debt, but, you know, it's been a tough 5 years, and a lot of people have had to take out mortgages on their home to help kids through college or, you know, manage other expenses, and so you really do need to look at your debt-to-income ratio. If you're living off of just a medium income of Social Security, it could be a little more challenging.
What about foreclosures in the state of Wisconsin? Have we have fewer than in other parts of the country, don't we?
Oh, we've always had less than other parts of the country, but I would say we peaked about 2 years ago, and we've been slowly coming down ever since then.
Okay. What about veterans? Do they have some options that people who are not veterans might in terms of buying a home?
Well, veterans have benefits through the Veterans Administration. So when you work with your local lender, there are typically guarantee programs that the VA offers to the local bank to help a veteran get in a home. And those eligibility rules are a little different, and they are not changing under these new rules. So any loan that a Wisconsin banker would make to a veteran that's guaranteed by the VA's program, as long as the veteran qualifies under the VA rules, it will be deemed a qualified mortgage. So those are still safe loans for banks.
And I was reading a statement from WIDA, and in at least one quarter, they increased their single family lending by about 40 to 50%. Any advice for someone who might qualify for a WIDA loan? That depends on their income, correct?
Right. WIDA loans they're driven both by the income of the borrower as well as the purchase price of the home. And those limits vary by county. So there's no standard statewide limit there. But it is good to talk to your local lender about whether or not they qualify for some of WIDA's programs or financing through WIDA as well.
What about any regional? Is the Milwaukee market hotter than Wausau or Rhinelander or Superior?
Well, Dane County always seems to be insulated from a lot of things. And, you know, Dane County is certainly a very good market. I think Milwaukee is a market that's starting to rebound. That of all of the cities in Wisconsin, they were certainly the hardest hit by the Great Recession in terms of the large number of either vacant homes or homes that have had to go into foreclosure there. Of course, their size is just larger too, so that certainly is part of the reason. But so they're starting to rebound though as well. So regionally, I don't think there are any pockets where you won't have a problem.
Do you expect your members, how many members does WBA have?
97% of the banks that have a retail presence in Wisconsin are members of WBA.
Does your industry expect to write fewer mortgages in 2014 as a result of Dodd-Frank?
I think we do, yes. Right. That's what our
10%,
bankers are
20%?
Telling us. I don't think it's that high. You know, I would say it's probably along the lines of 5 to 10% fewer.
Does that mean fewer profits for your members in 2014?
Right. Residential mortgage lending is not the profit center that it once was, and a lot of it is because of the rules that have gone into effect. Banks have had to buy more software programs, hire more people to just stay in compliance. So when you add all those overhead costs, you know, even with the steady volume, you're seeing less return, less margin profit back to the bank.
Now, how do groups like yours make your members aware of these thousands of pages of rules and regs and the law itself?
We provide a lot of educational training for our banks, and we have had to put on a lot of programs as a result of these new rules. So between that, some toolkits, references we have available on our website, articles and information that we put out through our publications, that's really our main focus in getting our members up to speed is in helping them, along with the software that we produce that helps them navigate these rules when they're documenting loans.
And so a couple watching this, living in Wisconsin, can they be assured that the standard is the same whether they're trying to buy a home in the suburbs of Virginia or Texas or Iowa or Oregon?
Yes, they can. Unfortunately, these are rules that affect everyone across the country in the same way.
And they ought to be aware that they might hear non-qualified.
Yes, they should be aware, right. New terminology for sure.
Is this going to hurt the Wisconsin bankers' profits in 2014?
It could. You know, we are looking at ways to diversify our members' income, and bank CEOs are looking at ways to diversify their income. I know their boards of directors have spent more hours than they probably cared to on trying to understand these rules as well over the last 6 months. So it's a game changer for the industry for sure.
Do you expect more mergers partly as a result of Dodd-Frank?
You know, regulation is a strong headwind against our industry right now, and while I would like to think that regulation by itself doesn't drive consolidation, it's becoming a growing factor in the discussion. But the sustained low interest rate environment is also not good for banks because we're just not able to make the net interest margin spread that we used to make when you could have a CD offered at a very reasonable price for the consumer as a good place to save their money, along with a loan at still a reasonable rate, but the margin was just that much larger for our banks to make a profit.
We've been talking about mortgages. Does Dodd-Frank at all affect small business loans? I think you said no earlier, but I just want to come back to that.
These rules don't affect small business loans. There are other rules that are yet to be finalized in Dodd-Frank that affect small business lending, but this particular set of rules is really focused on traditional residential mortgage lending.
So there are rules coming on small business loans?
Mm-hmm. There are more rules coming.
Is it even going to be tougher to get a small business loan?
It could. You know, it just depends on how they're written, and right now we don't know how they're going to write those rules yet.
Is there any good news in Dodd-Frank and the rules that are coming out for Wisconsin consumers?
You know, I would really argue no. There really isn't. It's a lot more disclosure, a lot more current disclosures changing, and those aren't going to be released for another 18 months yet. But there's just a lot of change and a lot of regulatory burden in Dodd-Frank for banks and consumers alike.
Part of Dodd-Frank created, I want to get the term right, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau?
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, right.
How are we consumers going to see that?
Well, they're very...
That's supposed to help us, isn't it?
It is supposed to help consumers,
we're from the
right.
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and we're here to help you.
Right, right. And they are very pro-consumer in their approach, which is a good thing for a government agency to be. But they're the ones writing all of these rules. And, again, they're taking it to an extreme that they don't understand how we work in parts of the country like Wisconsin, where we meet with our customers face to face. We typically know who they are. We know who their parents are. You know, all of that history is there, but that's just a foreign concept to those people writing the rules.
That's that character factor, right?
That is.
That just went out that window over there, right?
It just went out the window, right.
Well, thank you, but talk to me about how do you feel about Wisconsin's economy in 2014 overall, apart from your industry?
Overall, I think Wisconsin economy is doing well. We are seeing improvement in lots of different areas, and all of those are very positive signs. When we surveyed our membership last month for their view in the next 6 months to 12 months, they were overall very positive on the state and either saw the economy stabilizing as it is or even growing a little bit.
Is there any one segment that looks really good in terms of the economy? Manufacturing, construction, retail, anything like that?
You know, manufacturing and construction both seem to be noticeably improving. So we're very optimistic in that regard.
Wisconsin Bankers employ how many?
About 23,000 employees for banks that are headquartered in the state. So when you add in those that are not headquartered but have branches here, we estimate there's about 30,000 bank employees in the state.
And the impact on the economy, their payroll is what? Do you have that?
Almost $1.7 trillion, I want to say.
$1.7 trillion.
Or billion.
Billion,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billion would be
very high. Yeah.
Yes, it would. Okay, well, let's summarize it this way. Someone seeing this, the takeaway as a result of Dodd-Frank, they should be aware of what? Let's end it on that note.
They really need to be aware of their own financial situation when they walk into a bank so that when they're going in to get a mortgage loan, whether it's for the first time or for the third time to refinance or to upgrade and buy a new home, they really need to be aware of their own financial situation so that they're well aware of their credit situation and ideally have their debt managed to a very reasonable degree so they are able to qualify for any loan a bank would offer.
And just a follow-up question, when you say debt, what are you talking about there? Current mortgage, credit cards,
go ahead. Current mortgage, credit cards, any installment loans on a car, that type of debt that you have with a third-party creditor.
Okay. So overall, the Wisconsin Bankers Association wish you didn't have to deal with Dodd-Frank, but it's here.
It's here, and we are managing through it. We're helping our members manage through it, and we're hoping for the impact on consumers to be minimal, but there'll be an impact on some.
Rose Oswald Poles, president of the WBA, thanks so much for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.